Well, happy Sabbath to you all. Let's bow our heads. Lord and Father, we're grateful we can come to you in any state of mind, in any state of being, that you will be here to accept us. And for this, we're thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Question I have is, why are you here today? Why are you here today? I don't want responses. But if I were to ask, I'd probably get a lot of different responses. Tradition. Been doing it for years. Habit. I come to see my friends. I come here to know God. That's a rather lofty one. God told me to come. Some of you might respond that way. Curiosity. I always am curious about what's going to happen. It's the right thing to do. And we could have a much longer list. I'll tell you why I come. First, I started coming because it was a church that I knew I wouldn't have to wear a necktie in anymore. Done it for years. But then I discovered without a necktie, certain things show. So I decided to put one on today to hide the stretch of the buttons and the. But then I discovered there's a better reason for coming. I know that if I don't come the next week, Clyde Ritz will grab me and say, "Where were you last week? We missed you." You know, it sort of feels good to be missed. I like that. You like that. So I grab somebody's shoulder and I say, "You know, I missed you last week. Where were you?" And then Don Carpenter, I'll see him grab somebody and say, "Missed you last week. Where were you?" And they bob out in the hallway, big voice saying to them, "Hey, you weren't here last week. Where were you? We missed you." I think of that as a kind of an infection that grows, but it's what I call a lovely infection. So there's the title of my sermon. You got the point, now I can quit. Church secretary had quite a time. She called up and says, "What is it you're talking about? I'm a little lost here." Well, actually, you know good and well there's more to it than that. Why do we feel good being missed? I suppose it's because we think we matter to someone, at least. We may not be doing very well in the rest of our lives, but here on Saturday, someone thinks we matter. And by the way, we would do well as a church to make every person that comes through that door feel that they matter. But there's more to this idea about why you're here. This is God's house, after all. He has agreed to meet with us every seventh day in a special way. At his house, we have a date, God and me. Not just to worship him. We could do that any place. But to allow him to convince us that we matter. One of my favorite parables, and the giveaway is in the bulletin there. One of my favorite parables is Jesus when he told the story of the prodigal son. And it illustrates how much we matter to God. Can you put the slide up? I think if you can see this, if it works. Yeah, you can see it fairly good. It would be much better if we were in the presence of the actual painting. This is by Rembrandt, and it's called The Return of the Prodigal Son. Hangs in the Hermitage in St. Petersburg, Russia. But it has a certain expression to it that other similar paintings lack. And the first place I want you to focus is on the body language of the father. Just the way he has grasped that son. Notice he's really embracing him. I think he must be saying, "I missed you very much." He doesn't care if this boy is dirty, smelly from the pigs, raggedy, sick. He could even be HIV positive from all the prostitutes. None of that matters because he's home again. And he was greatly missed. This is God's house, and it's the only place on earth that represents being at home with God, the Father. And when one's not here, he misses us. Doesn't matter what kind of shape we're in, he misses us. If you want to be in a place where you will be missed if you're not there, this is it. If you want to be in a place where you can be just who you are, no pretense, no cleaning up, no putting on airs, you don't even have to wear a necktie, no faking it, this is it. If you want a place where you know you will be embraced, this is it. I want you to record this in your brain, stick it in there permanently. There is nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he already does, because he loves perfectly. There is nothing that you do that will make God love you any less, because he loves you eternally. So this is the place where he embraces you. Did you ever notice how many times Jesus in the New Testament refers to the Father? He doesn't refer to the Almighty God and Creator. He says, the Father. Our Father in heaven. And originally it's Abba, meaning daddy. He's our daddy. And we cry out to daddy. And look at this picture. Again, focus on that father. And then down at the son. Isn't it easy to imagine that you are the wayward son or daughter who comes home to be embraced just like that? That role fits us so easily, because we've been there and done that. And it feels good. But what happens after you are cleaned up and fed and put on new clothes? What happens when you get older? Perhaps you become like the older brother, the older son. Look, he's over on the side, up there. Look at his face. He's in the picture too. How many of you feel that you are like him? Notice how stern he looks. He's dutiful. He's faithful. He's always there. Week after week, he does his job, attends faithfully, and is angry. You ever been in that place? It seems like the rascals get all the attention. The sinners come in just as they are, and we who try so hard to live the perfect life get the smallest error pointed out. It's not fair. It's much easier to be the younger brother. Where is our feast? We would like the Father's embrace just as much as that wayward sinner and that brother kneeling down there. Well, have we forgotten that we've been getting that embrace all along? It's here every week. Maybe we even come instead for, we want a stimulating, exciting sermon, and we go away a little disappointed. Or we didn't like the music. Didn't notice that there was always a soft embrace available here. Maybe our attitude is, don't touch me. And yet, everyone, whether you're the young son, daughter, or the older son, daughter, wants a safe place, a place where we can be just who we are, a place where there's no criticism, only welcome, a place where we can feel the Father's embrace, a place where you know if you're not there, you will be missed. But again, let's take another look at the picture. Let's get a little different perspective here. Forget for a moment that the artist who assumes that the Father is a representation of God the Father, and in fact that's what Jesus intended in his parable, but forget that for a moment. Just think of him as a father figure. Universal father figure. Do any of you feel called to fit in that role? Are any of you willing to be a father-like figure from week to week here in the Healdsburg Church? Can you see yourself embracing, open arms, anyone that comes through that door? Will you, through your attitude, make them feel safe and welcome, regardless of their clothes or their demeanor or their oversized body, whatever the case may be? For me, that's the hardest role to imagine, to make strangers or casual acquaintances or even people you don't really like feel as though they just came home. We've all come here for some of the same things, but who supplies what we want? Now, I can hear whispers saying, "Whoa, it's the Holy Spirit." But the Holy Spirit's got to work in some kind of a tangible way. It's got to work through people. Who are the fathers who welcome the needy ones home? It can't be just the pastor, even though that's his job, that's his calling. But it takes more than that. Years ago, and I won't, it's 40-some years ago now. I was stationed at Walter Reed Army Hospital, Washington, D.C. My wife and I rented a small apartment in Tacoma Park, just a few blocks from Columbia Union College. Well, it was Emmanuel Missionary College, I think, in those days, but soon became Columbia Union College and the Sligo Church, which was right there off of campus. It was in what we called an Adventist ghetto. We were in our mid-20s, and I, in particular, was questioning Adventism as we knew it. I had come to the conclusion that you could not be an intellectual with too much curiosity and remain a Seventh-day Adventist. It was too anti-intellectual. That had been our experience. Then I slipped into the Sligo Church. Somebody prompted us to go there. And I met Bill Lovelace. My attitude changed. Those of you that know Bill can understand where I'm coming from here. My mind was stimulated and my heart moved. But an even greater work, from week to week to week, greater influence was from a little old lady, Mrs. R.R. Figure. Any of you remember when Figure was General Conference President? His wife had to be a saint on earth. Anyway, every week, she would be on the phone and say, "You're coming to choir rehearsal Thursday night, aren't you? You'll be at church this Sabbath, won't you? You know, if you're not there, you will really be missed." And she followed up on that as long as we were there. There were at least 60 members in that choir. So imagine the number of phone calls she made every single week. And I came to treasure those calls. We treasured that church so much that we almost stayed there. And it took quite a bit of influence to move us back to the West Coast. But it was a lovely place. And I call that a lovely infection. For to feel needed, to feel wanted, on a week-by-week basis, every single week went by like that. The psalmist, and we read it, Psalms 84, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O God." By the way, where is God's dwelling place? Paul, 1 Corinthians, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If a man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Here's what that means. Every body, I mean corporal body, every body that comes through that door is sacred. Whether they're fat, thin, tall, short, young, old, black, white, brown, every body that enters that door is sacred. And they should know when they're not here, they're missed. Let's make it so. Let's make it so. Would you take your hymnal? Go to number 61. Now, this is a hymn we don't often sing, and whether you know it or not, I don't care. But God is here. We are his people, meet to offer praise and prayer. May we find in fuller measure what it is in Christ we share, here as in the world around us, all our varied skills and arts. Wait the coming of the Spirit into open minds and hearts. I think we want to sing verse 1 and verse 3. Here the children find a welcome. That's pertinent to what we're talking about. So let's try and sing this as best we can. Don't sing very loudly. Don't play very loudly. Sit there in a pew. Main thing is let the words sing through your mind. As we, his people, meet to us.
Spirit into open minds and hearts. Verse 3. Hear our children, find a welcome in the shepherd's flock and fold. Hear as bread and wine are taken, Christ sustains us as of old. Hear the servants of the servant seek in worship to explore what it means in daily living to believe and to adore.
And bow your heads, please. Lord, it's our prayer that as we go home today, we will discover what it means to believe and to adore, what it means in this place, in your house, to come and be embraced by you week by week, time after time, for your love knows no bounds. For this we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.